from WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Tuesday was primary day here in Michigan, and the race that's captured the most headlines across the nation was Abdul El-Sayed's victory in the U.S. Senate race.
I think the big takeaway for me was just how close the margin ended up being. Early polling going into the race was fairly rosy for Abdul El-Sayed. You saw many polls saying that he could potentially win by double digits.
Coming up on the show, WCMU's A.J. Jones breaks down election results from several key races and tells you what they mean for the November general election. And today's brain teaser revolves around this being Science Week, so get ready to rock this question right after this. State health officials announced this week that two people have died as part of the ongoing cyclosporiasis outbreak. Michigan's health department says the two people who passed away had underlying health issues that, quote, may have been impacted by cyclosporiasis and dehydration. The outbreak has seen over 12,000 people sickened in Michigan, the most cases in any state. Symptoms of the intestinal illness include upset stomach, nausea, and watery diarrhea. Dr. Joe Santangelo is with Munson Healthcare. He says dehydration and nausea are potential risk factors, especially for vulnerable patients.
What can happen is that you lose a lot of electrolytes through your diarrhea. That change in electrolytes makes your heart beat irregularly, and that can cause serious problems.
State officials say dying from cyclosporiasis is rare. A tribal coalition is celebrating its Michigan Supreme Court victory against an oil and gas pipeline tunnel project that would run through the Straits of Mackinac. Colin Jackson has more.
The Michigan Public Service Commission okayed the project to build a tunnel around the Line 5 pipeline after considering its possible environmental impact to the surrounding area. But the Michigan Supreme Court's liberal majority found state environmental law requires a broader look at what impact continued operation of the entire pipeline would have. Whitney Gravel is president of the Bay Mills Indian Community.
The real question before us is what extending the life of Line 5 means for the Great Lakes, for treaty-protected fishing, for our homelands, and for every community that depends on clean water. And the court agreed.
The issue now returns to the Public Service Commission for a new review. I'm Colin Jackson.
Republican State Senator Jim Runstead recently introduced a bill to more strictly regulate license plate reader technology. Many local law enforcement agencies use the cameras to locate stolen vehicles and track vehicle movements during criminal investigations. The most prominent manufacturer of the technology is Flock Safety. The bill comes amid growing concern about surveillance in Michigan. Bay City canceled their contracts with Flock last year over privacy and data sharing issues. Ron Wiles is the executive director of the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police. He says overregulation could limit how useful this technology is.
We understand the community's concerns about privacy, and we want to have those things addressed, but we can't render an effective tool totally ineffective while doing that.
A representative from Flock says it also welcomes common sense regulation. Treasure maps and tall ships will be seen all over Boyne City during their Pirate Festival this weekend. The nonprofit Boyne City Pirate Fest organizes the event each year to raise money for programs that educate people in protecting the Great Lakes. Dustin Haka is president of the Pirate Festival. He says local schools benefit from the donations they collect.
We've done scholarships to local schools for kids going into environmental-related pathways in college. We've done things where we've taken them out on the water, out on the ferry, the Beaver Island Ferry, about water quality and invasive species and things like that.
Haka says funds are raised by selling treasure maps to find an actual treasure, but he says attending the festival is free, and it concludes today on Saturday, August 8th. And now, it's time for this week's brain teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's question reads, Michigan is the only state where these solid beach dwellers are found. What are they? Again, Michigan is the only state where these solid beach dwellers are found. What are they? Not to quarry. The answer will be revealed right after this. Health official Abdul El-Sayed has won the closely watched expensive Democratic primary for Michigan's open U.S. Senate seat. We also know who will be facing off to be Michigan's next governor. Here to break down the results from the week's primary elections is WCMU reporter A.J. Jones. So, A.J., the Senate primaries are over. Who won?
Abdul El-Sayed is the former Wayne County Health Director and a staunch progressive running on Medicare for All, abolishing ICE, and opposition to military aid for Israel amid the war in Gaza. He won by 1 percentage point, or about just over 14,000 votes. El-Sayed spoke to his supporters early in the morning on Wednesday, and he reminded him what his movement is all about.
We live in an era of historical inequality, in an era where union participation is near an all-time low, but the number of billionaires has never been higher.
His opponent was moderate House Representative Haley Stevens. In a statement, she endorsed El-Sayed, and she said, essentially, we need to focus on getting Democrats elected up and down the ballot. Abdul El-Sayed has also been endorsed by his former opponent, Mallory McMorrow, a state senator. And Mallory McMorrow, even though she dropped out, did still appear on the ballot. Her vote total ended up being more than the gap between Haley Stevens and Abdul El-Sayed. The Republican nominee is former Congressman Mike Rogers. He did not face any viable competition in his bid, and he looks to come back from a narrow U.S. Senate loss in 2024. He said in a statement on his website, quote, Abdul doesn't represent a vision for the future. He's leading a movement grounded in ideological fanaticism. And I think that quote really speaks to what Mike Rogers' strategy is likely going to be, trying to win moderates who may not like Donald Trump very much potentially, but are maybe off put by how progressive El-Sayed is.
Right, right. Well, so, AJ, can you tell us a bit about what Abdul El-Sayed's win says about the state of the Democratic Party? This race got national attention.
Yeah, and I think the big takeaway for me was just how close the margin ended up being. Early polling going into the race was fairly rosy for Abdul El-Sayed. You saw many polls saying that he could potentially win by double digits. Still, he did win, and I think this speaks to the fact that progressives have been making waves across America in Democratic primaries. And last night suggested they can be competitive in a statewide Democratic Party, a primary, in a purple state. A lot of these progressive wins have been showing up in places like New York City, Colorado, sort of deep blue areas. But this is a swing state, and Abdul has won a competitive primary. Abdul El-Sayed was endorsed by progressives like Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont. Sanders told NPR that the win was a big deal.
This is the most extraordinary victory in modern American politics.
Still, despite all that, Abdul El-Sayed likely has quite a bit of work to do to bring back the Democratic coalition. Stevens did well in places like Saginaw County, Genesee County, and in the Thumb. And she also won across the Detroit Tri-County area, Wayne, Macomb, Oakland, by single digits. Stevens was endorsed by establishment figures, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, outgoing Senator Gary Peters, former Senator Debbie Stabenow, and she had tens of millions of dollars in PACs, who are not affiliated with the campaign, but these PACs were spending big on Haley Stevens. In fact, she benefited greatly from PAC spending. PAC spent something to the tune of around $63.9 million to boost Stevens, and they ran a lot of attack ads hitting out at El-Sayed. Stevens had a 9-to-1 spending advantage, that's according to Ad Impact. They say this was the third most expensive Senate primary ever. In addition, Abdul and Stevens clash hard on military aid to Israel. Abdul is in favor of ending it, like I mentioned earlier. Stevens sort of takes the opposite position, although she has supported, you know, a two-state solution. Stevens is a lot more moderate on the Israel-Gaza war. And, you know, that really shows that there's a rift in the party on that particular issue. And I think Abdul has really emphasized its importance in this primary. I think the big takeaway for me ultimately is that, you know, some Democrats are not happy with party leadership and they really want change.
So moving on, what did we learn about the gubernatorial race this week?
Well, there were no real surprises from the gubernatorial races yesterday. As expected, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson is the Democratic nominee for governor. She's pitched herself as the continuity candidate, hoping to pick up from current Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Benson celebrated her win at a watch party in Detroit.
As the next governor of Michigan, I will work with you to drive down costs while expanding our economy. And yes, I will work with anyone to get that done. But I will also be ready to stand up to anyone, no matter how wealthy or powerful, who gets in our way.
Over on the Republican side, a tense primary campaign saw Trump-endorsed Congressman John James win by pretty comfortable margins. He made his case at a unity brunch for the GOP on Wednesday.
We're going to cut taxes and lower your energy bills. We're going to protect Medicaid for those who need it while stopping fraud, waste, and abuse. We're going to restore excellence and accountability and parental rights to our schools. We're going to support law enforcement and protect victims and keep violent criminals off our streets.
Early polling suggests that Benson is in the driver's seat to win the gubernatorial race, but there's still a lot of time between now and November.
And AJ, I heard there was a big upset in Michigan's 8th congressional district on the Republican side. So what happened there?
Yeah, this is really unexpected. So for reference, the Michigan 8th congressional district is Flint as well as the Saginaw Bay Area, so the Tri-Cities. In a remarkable upset, Republican Thomas Smith, an engineer, beat Navy veteran Amir Hassan by over 10,000 votes. It wasn't a close race. And the thing is, Thomas Smith suspended his campaign and endorsed a third candidate.
I am announcing that today I am suspending my campaign and putting my full support behind Al Lemo.
And Hassan was endorsed by President Donald Trump. And Hassan was on stage with Donald Trump in late July.
Protecting America, getting back to the fundamentals and the foundation that made us great in the beginning, that's what we're doing this cycle.
And despite all of that, Hassan lost to a candidate who, again, suspended his campaign. Just because a candidate suspends their campaign doesn't mean their name comes off of the ballot. According to the New York Times, Smith didn't even have an FEC account, and he had handwritten his FEC filing because he couldn't log in to the FEC's online services. Smith didn't run any TV ads. He reported in that filing that he had raised $1,850. Hassan, according to his FEC filing, had just over $700,000 in campaign money. Now, as for why this happened, there's a few, I think, things that are worth pointing out. Hassan was hit hard by various attack ads, mailers. There was a lot of negative coverage directed at Hassan. This was a pretty chippy primary. And there was one particular thing that Hassan said. Hassan had admitted that he didn't vote at all in 2024. And that was something that came up quite a bit in a lot of these attacks. This was a pretty low-profile race, and it didn't really get a whole lot of coverage. I mean, we at WCMU weren't expecting a whole lot of expending a whole lot of coverage to this. We didn't expect this either. And the thing is, I mentioned Smith was still on the ballot despite being, despite having suspended his campaign. So remember, you know, candidates like Mallory McMorrow, I mentioned earlier, got thousands of votes despite quitting the race because, you know, these are people that get votes during the early mail-in period and the early in-person voting period. And when they drop out, the votes still count. Mike Cox, former attorney general, had 13% of the vote in the GOP primary for governor, even though he had suspended his campaign and endorsed John James. So Thomas Smith will run against Representative Kristen McDonnell-Rivett, who was unopposed in her Democratic primary. There were also high-profile House races across the state, and we have full results of all of them on WCMU.org.
Thanks so much for the reporting on this, AJ.
Thank you.
And now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. This week's question reads, Michigan is the only state where these solid beach dwellers are found. What are they? Again, Michigan is the only state where these solid beach dwellers are found. What could they be? Well, the answer is Petoskey stones. Yes, the Petoskey stone. It was formed by rare fossilized coral patterns from about 350 million years ago. Although they are not 100% exclusive to Michigan, the Petoskey is tied to Michigan's glacial history. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter, linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, WCMU.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Schall. Mike Horace is our executive producer. And I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great weekend.